The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge, and you're listening to Multiple Sclerosis News Today's audio news. These are today's news highlights curated by our editorial staff. Visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com for more relevant news and patient perspectives. Researchers distinguish remyelinated brain lesions via MRI. An MRI technique called quantitative susceptibility mapping, or QSM, can be used to accurately identify remyelinated brain lesions in people with multiple sclerosis, a research team has discovered. Remyelinated lesions are those in which the myelin sheath, the protective coating around nerve fibers that is progressively lost in MS, has been repaired. These study findings suggest that QSM data may represent a new biomarker to help develop and assess the efficacy of potential remyelinating treatments in clinical trials, the researchers noted. The study, a new advanced MRI biomarker for remyelinated lesions in multiple sclerosis, was published in the journal Annals of Neurology. In MS, the immune system launches an inflammatory attack that causes damage to myelin, ultimately resulting in demyelination, or myelin loss, in the brain and spinal cord. Areas of inflammation and resultant demyelination are visible on MRI scans as lesions. While myelin repair is a natural process upon demyelination, it is typically very inefficient in people with MS. Myelination also is difficult to monitor with current imaging techniques. QSM, an MRI technique sensitive to both iron accumulation and myelin content in the brain, has been used to identify paramagnetic rim lesions, or PRLs, which are regions of chronic inflammation and myelin damage that are surrounded by a rim of iron-laden immune cells, like microglia and macrophages. Whether this technique can be used to accurately distinguish other types of MS lesions, particularly those presenting myelin repair, remains unclear. To address this, an international team of scientists conducted analyses of MRI data for 1,621 lesions in 115 people with MS, 76 with active relapsing remitting disease, and 39 with inactive progressive MS or PMS. The analysis also included MRI data from 76 people without MS. They classified MS lesions according to their visual intensity compared to the surrounding tissue on QSM maps: isointensive, hypointensive, hyperintensive lesions with hypotensive rim, and lesions with hypertense rim, which are the PRLs. There was no difference in the frequency of QSM lesion types between RRMS and PMS patients. The team then evaluated the myelin and nerve fiber content of each lesion type using the myelin water fraction, or MWF, and neurite density index, NDI. MWF estimates myelin content based on the amount of water, while NDI measures how dense nerve fibers are in a region. Results showed that PRLs were associated with the lowest MWF and NDI values, which is consistent with these lesions representing areas of ongoing inflammation that causes chronic demyelination. By contrast, isointensive and hypointensive brain lesions tended to have high MWF and NDI values, indicating higher myelin content, presumably due to remyelination. We present new evidence indicating that QSM lesion types differ substantially in their myelin and axon content, as measured by surrogate imaging measures such as MWF and NDI, the researchers wrote. The scientists then tracked MWF changes over time in 40 patients, followed for 2 years. Of 325 lesions followed over time, 18 were isointense or hypointense lesions. While MWF values remained largely stable in 8 of these lesions over the 2 years, the other 10 initially were hyperintense lesions at study's start, and showed an average increase of 33.6% in MWF, suggesting remyelination in these regions. To further investigate the ability of QSM to accurately identify the different types of lesions, the team compared data from QSM with that of tissue analysis in the brains of 3 deceased MS patients. Based on tissue analyses, there were 9 remyelinated regions in these brains. 8 of these 9 lesions had appeared as isointense or hypointense on MRI scans. The lone outlier, an hyperintense lesion, was characterized by iron-rich macrophages, activated microglia, and incomplete remyelination, the researchers wrote. Still, the QSM accurately identified fully remyelinated areas as isointense, hypointense, with a sensitivity of 88.9% and a specificity of 100%. These findings suggest that iso and hypointensity in QSM indicates complete focal remyelination with no active microglia or macrophages, the researchers wrote. QSM also accurately identified chronic inactive lesions, which no longer show signs of active inflammation, as hyperintense, sensitivity of 71.4%, specificity of 92%, and chronic active lesions as PRLs, sensitivity of 92.9%, specificity of 86.4%. We identified a new QSM lesion type, hypointense QSM lesions, which showed the highest myelin and axon content compared to other QSM lesion types, suggesting that they may represent remyelinated plaques, the researchers concluded. These findings provide the first evidence that it is possible to distinguish chronic MS lesions in a clinical setting, the researchers wrote. They also highlight that QSM provides highly sensitive and specific biomarkers of completed remyelination, which may help to develop and measure the efficacy of potential remyelinating therapies in clinical trials, the team concluded. This news article was written by Marissa Wexler, MS, on July 6, 2022. Click the link in the description below to read more on this and other topics of interest on the MS News Today's website. Chairborne, a column by Benjamin Hoffmeister, published on July 7, 2022. The MS paradox results in many conflicting feelings. Thanks, I hate it. Odd way to begin a column, I know. I suppose I'd better explain myself. That phrase regularly appears in memes and other pop culture media as an expression of dislike for an image or tweet. No one seems to know where or from whom it originated, so I don't feel too guilty about using it for my own ends. For me, it's an expression of both gratitude and abhorrence at the same time. For instance, you can be grateful for the spirit in which a gift was given while despising the gift itself. That sweater from your grandmother, for example. It's a classic contradiction, and while I certainly don't consider multiple sclerosis to be a gift, it works well to shed light on a phenomenon that I've dubbed the multiple sclerosis paradox. Let's look at a few examples. For obvious reasons, I seek the majority of my camaraderie, advice, and emotional support from the multiple sclerosis and rare disease community. The people I interact with in this small community via support groups, BioNews, the parent company of this website, online forums, and social media platforms are some of the most wonderful people I've ever known, but I wish we'd never met. Harsh? Yeah, it is. I'm afraid there's really no way to soften the blow. Put a slightly different way, I'm so happy to be a part of this community, but I wish none of us qualified for it. There's no animosity intended. It's just a somewhat painful contradiction, and I don't like it at all. Then again, I don't think I'm supposed to. As another example, my family and friends go out of their way to accommodate my disability, yet they somehow don't make me feel disabled, a kind of paradox in and of itself. I am inexpressibly grateful, but I wish they never had to do so, because I wish I didn't need any accommodations. Along those lines, I didn't plan on it, but I generally enjoy being retired at 47. I love being at home with my wife and the young children. I should say that more, but I'm not happy that having a disease was what made it possible. I can be a bit of a handful at times, but I think they like having me around, even if they don't like the reason I am. Moving on, I have wheelchairs, ramps, ankle-foot orthoses, reachers, an intrathecal baclofen pump, and so on. I'm glad these tools exist. After all, they keep me involved in my own life and the lives of my loved ones. I wouldn't want to consider their alternatives, but I wish I didn't need any of them. I've learned a great deal about MS since I was diagnosed. You could say it has my undivided attention. But I wish I'd never heard of it. I like my neurologists, but I wish we'd never met. The research they do is fascinating and fills me with hope, but I wish there were no need for them to do it, and for me to have hope in it. These are just a few examples of the multiple sclerosis paradox. I invite you to leave a comment detailing your own examples. Thank you for reading this column, but I wish there were no reason for you to ever need or want to. To read more columns from Benjamin Hoffmeister and our other contributors, visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. Follow the link in the description below. This is MS News Today's audio news. Subscribe to our channel to never miss an episode. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts, hit save. Thanks for tuning in.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.